This is it. We've got an Amex Platinum Pro on our hands, ladies and gentlemen. We haven't seen anyone relax like this before in the Centurion Lounge. Is he connecting to complimentary Wi-Fi? Oh, my. Look at that. He is. And you will not believe where he's going next. The Amex dedicated card member entrance for the win. Unbelievable.
When you get travel perks with Amex Platinum, you're part of the action. That's the powerful backing of American Express. Terms apply. Learn more at americanexpress.com/withAmex.
Fill her up.
You're listening to the Gas Digital Network.
Oh, Zachy boy!
Let's go!
Let's
I know you can barely stand in the back! What are you doing, buddy?
Oh, no!
I'm back. Well, here you go. That's what your buddy was looking like for about almost 2 weeks. I only feel like Jack Dempsey beat me up with one hand.
Hey, you're looking good, buddy. Looking much better.
Awesome. Got to keep the hat on. But,
yeah.
So got lots going on. I guess, the Grammys.
Yeah. We got
WrestleMania.
Yep. All kind of stuff.
We got the tour going on. We got, getting ready. Yeah, I'm doing my Kegels and everything else, getting ready for the big tour.
Doing your homework?
Oh, yeah. Started working on some of the other songs. I know how you practice these songs all the time, right?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I got to start standing up, man.
That's the other good one. Yeah.
I know.
Well, no, because I just always used to laugh, with the standing up thing when you used to see pictures, when we were kids.
Yeah.
People in the studio with the headphones on and standing up. Why would you do that?
I know. We're just
whenever you're playing, you're sitting down.
Yeah, in the studio. We all
practice.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, you practice sitting down. Nobody practices standing up. Why would you choose to stand up when you can sit and play?
Yeah, yeah. I know. There's a couple people that do that, though. That's crazy. They feel more comfortable standing when they play,
Well, unless you're Jimmy, the pont. If you have Jimmy Page, you have the guitar down around your knee.
Yeah,
you
know what I mean?
But I'm just saying. I never understood that. I would never.
No,
especially how we record now. You're in a control room.
We're sitting down.
Well, yeah, I didn't realize that you could record in the control room. Back in the day, I just figured you had to be out in the studio.
Yeah.
With headphones on and you play and, you don't know.
No, we didn't know anything back when we were young. It was all a mystery.
Yeah, no, they just show up and you sprinkle magic dust on us now. I remember... Yeah. Leslie West was telling me, he goes, Zach, I remember we were working on, doing the first Mountain record. And we're in there playing, and we're like, wow, how come it doesn't sound like Cream? How come we didn't sound good? He goes, Leslie goes, because we suck. That's why. He goes, there is no magic dust. Either
good
player, you can't.
Exactly.
It is what it is, so.
But they were great. Them Mountain records are great.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, it just...
Yeah.
The musicianship back then, the 70s, I mean, even the studio cats, I mean...
They're just killing it, man.
Even when we're hearing Yacht Rock and we listen to everything like that, just the musicianship on those records is out of control.
Another level. Everybody was on.
Mind you, I think, you go on Instagram, you find amazing musicians. These kids are awesome. So I think it's great. A lot of people say, oh, well, the musicianship, I think they're wrong. Yeah.
We get to see it now more than we ever did, because of this stuff. We would have never seen any of these kids,
No, we just knew about it. Like I'm saying, for us, whether you're playing out and, seeing Dave DiPietro and Kenny Dubman and Scott Metaxas and all the guys when we were younger, seeing the guys. But, you'd see them in clubs or you knew guys in the neighborhood that were good musicians or whatever.
That was about it, though.
And then eventually you heard about kids in other, in other neighborhoods.
Yeah. But we were lucky we had a bunch of good people in our neighborhoods. Especially you had a lot of good cats that were already into Mahavishnu and stuff like that, and turning up, right?
Well, me taking lessons from Leroy
and
his buddies. I, like, which was crazy. You know, like how we're like, you're going to be in a cover band playing Sabbath. Or that, he goes, they were in the, their cover bands that were playing Dixie Dregs and Mahavishnu.
Yeah.
Yeah. There's one buddy that was like way in the Trower and everything like that. Yeah. But I mean, like they would cover it like it was nobody's business. I mean, I was wow. So when I was 15 years old, seeing that, it was pretty.
That's pretty awesome.
Pretty mind blown, man.
Yeah. I mean, because I was hearing the records of, you know, Al Demiola back then. But no,
to see someone physically play it, it's just like, well, it's just like magic tricks, you know, like see somebody how it's actually a card trick and go, no, this is how you actually do it.
Yeah.
You know, so it's like when you physically see somebody doing that in front of you, you know, the first time you see somebody play an Eruption or something like that, it's just like,
I remember back. It's really, that was amazing.
Yeah, without a doubt. Oh, so, you know,
that was really
cool. But I think the musicianship is, you know, pretty crushing. But, we were just talking about before we got it started, you know, getting ready for the tour and everything. We got Father Jared out with us, and we were we always talk about, you know, starting. How do you start a band nowadays? And if we were 18 years old again, and, you know,
yeah.
How would we do it? Man.
You got to pound the pavement.
But look at Jared. You know, ever since we knew when he did the Book of Shadows 2 tour, he started in the van.
Yep.
With the three guys.
Yeah.
And that was it, man. And just building the mom and pop shop from there.
You know, and you know,
and like, Jared on social media and everything like that. Just
that's huge too, because you can promote. You know, you promote yourself every day.
Yeah.
Instead of, you know, putting up flyers in the places, you know, where we would
like be back then, that's how you did it.
Exactly. You know? Music stores, whatever. You put up flyers, record stores. Now it's just like there's a millions of people there, you know, just waiting. So it's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
But you got to do it.
Jared's doing
great.
It.
Yeah, and he's great.
That's the way you do it nowadays, right? You know?
I mean, really? Yeah. Lucky enough to get on some good tours, you know, and then keep it rolling, man.
But yeah, don't do a tour for 5 weeks and then go home and then just do nothing.
Exactly, for, you know, years.
And expect like something's going to come out of that. You know what I mean?
Got to keep it rolling.
No, just keep really, you just got to keep plowing ahead. I mean, it really is the truth, man. But and talking about that plowing ahead, I mean, you know, like we were talking about, like WrestleMania. You said that this WrestleMania was probably the biggest
of
them all. Yeah, but that's a combination. You said that's a combination of 2 days, though.
2 days, but 156,000 people.
Over 2 days.
That's insane, man.
But
that's,
like we were saying, I said when the Warrior wrestled Hulk Hogan, I think it was 80 or 90,000.
On the one day.
At the Sky Dome one show.
We'd have to look up that stat. I'm not sure. But 156,000, that's how big it still is, Zach. I mean, because, you know, we've been removed for a while, man. You know, I have been anyway. But it's this one, though, in particular, looked like it was really good. Like, they brought back a lot of old timers, you know, or older, you know, things. And, like, Triple H announced the whole thing. You know, Stone Cold was back. Vince McMahon wrestled.
Now, you're saying, Steve, I didn't catch all the highlights, but I saw Steve do a couple stunners and stuff like that.
He wrestled the first night.
But who did he wrestle?
I forget the guy's name again. Maybe, Bri, you can look that up for us and tell me, because I forget. But he wrestled. Well,
I know, because, I mean, you know, the reason why Steve's retired.
I mean, I know.
He broke his – basically broke his neck. And, you know, doctor's like, bro, you fall off a ladder changing light bulbs in a house, you may be paralyzed. Like, you know, what do you have you jumping in a ring? Hey, like, stop, man.
You're like, the 15 years of pent-up rage, you know. And all it was amazing. I might have to go back in. I might have to come back in.
Oh my God! You pulled the plug. You were out probably as soon as Warrior got in.
Yeah, it was.
I was a Warrior freak. Oh, that's when you pulled the plug. Right.
Exactly. I was kind of done.
You were out then.
Yeah.
You were out by 90. Probably by 91. You were out 92.
Yeah, probably around there. Because I remember going to the first WrestleMania. I think I was at Berkeley, and I went to the Boston Garden to see it. They showed it on the big screen.
On the big screen.
Yes. I mean, that was awesome.
Yeah, the pay-per-view.
Yeah, totally. But then, you know, maybe a couple years after that, and that was about it for me. But then you hung out. You were in there for the 90s.
Yeah, the Warrior.
Yeah.
I got so into the Warrior. So, yeah. I mean, it was just
Steve after that.
Yeah, and then I started falling off like right after the Warrior, when the Warrior stopped.
Yeah.
I kind of fell off. And then all of a sudden, he was coming back. I was like, oh, this is awesome. But I mean, and then after that, you know, then that's when Steve started taking over.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, so that's when that was the next wave.
Yeah.
But, you know, but Steve's run really wasn't that long either because that's when he hurt his neck.
I hear you. But he wrestled the first night. Kevin Owens he beat. And then the second night he was involved. It was pretty funny. Here it is. Hold on, let me tell you what happened. Pat McAfee, right? He wrestled Austin Theory, who's one of like Vince McMahon's upcomers, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And he beat him. And then he challenged McMahon to a wrestling match, and then Vince beat him, right? And he punted a ball because Pat McAfee was a punter. For the Colts, and he's a SmackDown announcer.
Wait, is that his finishing move? He punts everyone in the face.
He punted the ball right out. It was pretty funny. But then and Stone Cold came running out. Here's him celebrating with Pat McAfee. Oh no, that's Vince McMahon.
Vince, but
yeah.
He completely. Oh my God, that what a disaster.
Let me see it. I never seen this. Let me see.
That was terrible.
Let's see it.
Terrible. Steve was going to, when he kicks him in the stomach, that's when he's supposed to give him the stunner right after that. Right.
Oh, he fell down.
Wait. Oh, come on. Oh my.
Wow. Terrible. That was terrible.
Now, because I saw the McAfee guy, he really sold. He saw.
He's great. Let's see that one, too. That one.
Yeah, that was a great sell.
That was great.
Poor, you know, Vince was bumming right after that. He wants it to be great, man.
Totally.
Oh.
And he messed it all up.
Not only once, twice.
I know. He fell down.
Like the first time he messed it up, and then after he came off the rope, Steve's like, okay, well, we'll just improvise. You can see it. We'll come off, and then I'll give it to you once we get off the ropes. And he's still clammed now.
Here we go. This is
there you go.
That's awesome.
That's a good sell.
It was great. He was friends with him, and then he turned on him.
Steve took the victory lap right after that.
That was awesome.
Oh, my God.
That was the best thing I saw.
What's going on, gang? I want to tell you about an amazing website for staying on top of everything metal, knotfest.com.
Yeah.
Last news. I was just on here today, Goose. I was just checking out. Pantera's got a new beer out, Vulgar Display a lager.
Awesome.
You got Dave Mustaine. He's jamming with Lamb of God.
Yeah, they did the Wake Up Dead.
Oh, yes. And then you got Knotfest Roadshow 2022.
Yeah. Yeah, so if you want to know about new tour announcements, upcoming albums, and everything new going on in the metal scene, this is the website for all your metal-related news and content.
Once again, it's knotfest.com for tons of coverage of everything that's going on in metal.
Yeah!
That's right, Ghost!
Ah!
Oh, my.
Actually, the other thing with the Jackass guys were wrestling. Johnny Knoxville.
Oh, Johnny and the guys.
And Wee Man.
Oh, no, that's great.
Dude, Wee Man body slammed this Zane. It was funny. I don't know if you saw that. Do we have that, Brian?
Put it on.
It's pretty awesome. He's got to get it. Here we go.
Oh, there he is. Oh, look at the ferocity of the Wee Man. Oh my God.
This is awesome. Look at that. Look at him.
He's stalking Sammy. Listen to this place. Oh, we're to the kneecap.
Watch this.
Look at this. With that body slamming,
and the crowd goes,
and he used to kick himself in the face.
Now watch this move by Johnny Knoxville back.
Sammy Zayn, and now
there you go.
That was great, right?
That was a good one.
He slammed his head on the ground, but that was pretty awesome.
Johnny almost knocked himself out.
He totally did. That was great.
Good for them, man.
That was awesome. So this one was actually really, really good, man. Really entertaining. And Undertaker gave his speech. The Hall
of Fame. Yeah. Everybody said, you know, it was amazing and everything like that. So that's awesome, man.
Yeah. So it was a good night. A good two nights for wrestling.
We were saying it's crazy that the Steiners got in there because we talked about it before.
Right.
Scott was like, you know.
It's a.
I think they asked him a while ago, you know, would you ever do the Hall of Fame? And he goes, the Hall of Fame is just for – that's in Vince's mind. You know what I mean? He was like, no.
Because
I would never do what I need that to, you know.
Devalue
everything I've done throughout my career, you know. But no, I mean, I think the Hall of Fame thing's great. You know what I mean? Because it just gives all the guys props for all the years of
– I hear you.
What they gave the business, you know what I mean?
But then at the end of his speech, he said, never say never.
Oh, Scott said that?
No, Undertaker.
Oh, boy.
Come on. Why are you even retiring?
You know, I know. He's putting on the hat. He's putting everything on. I never say never. Here it comes. Oh, boy.
Never say never.
Oh, boy.
How great was Paul?
It'd be great if Wee Man just went out and pummeled him. Or Wee Man came out and then he tombstoned Wee Man.
Either that or Will Smith comes out and smacked him.
That would have been good. But then he would have to tombstone Will Smith. Yeah.
Exactly. But never say never. Here's another one. Leaving the door open. There you go.
Well, that would be a good one, too, to capitalize on the whole Will Smith thing. Get Will. That would have been great if they got Will to do WrestleMania. Come in and just smack somebody in the face.
Even Logan Paul was there, Zach.
But you got to love that. Was Jake Paul there?
No, I think it was Logan, right?
Logan.
I think it was Logan. And he actually wrestled. It was a tag team match, I think. He beat Raymond. I think it was a tag team. He beat Rey Mysterio. You remember him?
Oh, yeah. Okay.
And then it was him, the Miz, against Rey Mysterio and somebody. And then they won. And then he turned on the Miz. So it's pretty great. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Without that, well, yeah. Just the comedy factor is just
pretty. It was pretty, pretty entertaining one. I might have to dive back in for a minute, Zach.
Well, that, like, you know, that's what I mean. It really is amazing with wrestling, in regards though, that, like you said, like you dropped off, and then that means we have to get a new influx.
Yeah.
Of fans.
Yeah, totally. Keep turning them over, man.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm just saying, you know.
Great job now, man. Wow.
Yeah, because, you know, like you said, you had Bruno, and you have superstar Billy Graham, and then you have Bob Backlund. Then who's coming? Who's going to carry the company after that? And then you have Andre, then you have the Hulkster.
Yeah.
And it's like, all right, who's going to – we need to keep the thing going.
Right. And not only that, then they had a whole other cast of characters that were amazing, you know, through all that, you know.
It's a matter of
all of them.
Yeah. And I mean, I'm just saying, because you have to have, you know, and like each guy that we're mentioning has their own thing to them.
Like Razor Ramon, man, you know?
Yeah.
He was great.
He was awesome.
Yeah, man.
It is, I mean, even wrestling, even just like with music, with bands. Until they find their niche, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like Steve was the ringmaster. Did you ever see any of the earlier clips of Steve?
No,
very, very much like Ric Flair. He's wearing like Flair's
robes. Right. Yeah.
And you know, like he's very, very much Ric Flair going on.
Right.
You know, before he became found. Stone Cold, you know, because when he first came in, he was the ringmaster.
Yeah. He wasn't the shock master, though.
No, he wasn't the shock master, who's quite possibly the greatest character of all time. The shock master was great. That was Tugboat.
But Arn Anderson doing the voice, right?
One of the greatest moments in wrestling history.
And laughing.
Totally. Sid the whole time he's going, I'm telling you, you better cut a hole in that thing. He's going to trip right over that 2x4, man. And they didn't listen.
I told you.
I told you. I knew it was going to happen. Yep.
That's a classic moment in wrestling history for everybody. The Shockmaster. You got to check that out.
We got to bring that clip up. One of the greatest moments in wrestling history, quite possibly.
That it really was.
Who is this guy?
It's really great. We should get that.
He's got a Star Wars mascot. Like, yeah. We're going to be able to get away with that. You know.
Totally.
Copyright infringement. I mean, that's a property of Star Wars, bro. Spray painted it, put some glitter on it. No one will know the difference.
And then they turn him into a construction worker, right? Like, what the? What? Yeah.
It's terrible, man. Until you, it's funny with wrestling, even bands, until they find their,
I hear you,
their niche, you right. know?
Yeah, totally.
Which is kind of, you know, which is, blows me away pretty much when bands, you know, like their debut record, when they could pretty much find
all together.
Like they got it all together on that record.
Zeppelin. I mean, they, you know.
First out, even Sabbath on the debut record.
How old was Ozzy?
That's what I'm saying. They were like early 20s.
That's amazing. And they spit that out, you know?
Yeah, but like you said, they were Earth. And then Jimmy with the Yardbird. So he's kind of navigating, trying to figure out, you know, he knows what he wants to do. And let's be real. I mean, it wasn't like he had John Paul Jones, Robert, and John Bonham, and they put the band together and they did clubs for 3 years.
No. Jimmy was.
No, they just went in, made the record, and that was it.
Yeah.
There was no touring, no gigs.
No.
It wasn't even like they played clubs in front of 18 people.
Right.
You know, and then built the thing, you know, until they got a repertoire and then went in and made the record. I mean, like, no, they basically like, we're not going to make demos. We'll just go in and make the record of these songs. We'll go do it. And then he just shopped it to the labels.
Wow.
Do you guys want an advance and then make the record? No, we already made the record. I paid for it. And this is the record.
Yeah. He was smart. Yeah.
You know, so.
Totally.
I mean, where Sabbath, you know, Ozzy said that first record is basically their live set.
That's what you were saying.
Yeah, so they were.
About a year already, they were doing that.
Yeah. So like when Tony said when he wrote War Pigs, that was just when they were in clubs at sound checks.
Right.
And he was just noodling on that for a while. And they had that worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And then all the stuff was just them jamming and sound, you know, at rehearsals, at sound checks, during the gigs, right. In between, like when they had two gigs, you know, when they had nothing to do, you know, there'd be nobody in the place, you know what I'm saying?
And how many songs come out of that? A lot. We have a bunch,
without a doubt.
That sound checks and just jamming.
I agree.
Yeah, lots.
No, totally. Everything sounds good, and it's the first thing you know, you're inspired, and you start writing.
Yeah.
What's going on, Zach Wild and the Goose here? Spring is here.
Yeah.
Isn't it time to clean up your mismatched and worn-out sock collection while making your feet feel amazing in shoes, sneakers, or boots?
Hessy socks are truly the only hybrid fashion athletic socks on the market.
Are you tired of your feet hurting in your dress shoes? Well, Hessy's custom feet and arch support solve all that.
Tired of digging your socks out of your boots? Hessy Stay Up technology solves that.
Well, tired of your feet stinking in your kicks after your workout or a game? Well, Hessy's breathable cotton and all the good properties that it has solves all of that.
Mike, most fashion athletic and dress socks are expensive, poorly constructed, and provide zero protection. Not ours.
Oh, no. Well, Hessy cut out the middleman and provides a superior product at a superior price, Goose.
Top of that, with multiple styles and colors, you'll look just good while feeling great.
Yeah. Well, don't take our word for it.
Hope. Go to HessySocks.com. HessiSocks.com.
That's right. Enter the promo code Goose 30 for 30% off your entire order of our fashion, athletic, basic, or ankle socks.
HeshySocks.com. The best thing,
the best ever, thing that ever happened to your feet or your footsies. But it is pretty crazy. I mean, you know, and then, you know, like with Pantera, Diamond, the guys, it's like, you know, you could see where they were in the oven where the souffle wasn't ready yet.
Definitely.
When you know, the Metal Magic and, you know, Nightworks, all these other things. And then it was like, you know, because you're a product of your environment.
He wasn't.
You know, you had the hair metal thing going on, and then everybody's doing it. And then not only, I mean, like we were talking about Jimi Hendrix. Because he embraced the culture.
Right.
You know what I mean? So, like, let's say if the whole hippie movement wasn't going on and the psychedelic hippie
Yeah.
If he was 24 in 1955, he would have been doing what Chuck Berry and everybody's doing.
Right.
Because you're a byproduct of your surroundings and your environment.
Without a doubt.
You know, because, I mean, now that the grunge thing is going on, now everyone's gravitating towards doing that.
Yeah, right. The Nirvana sound.
Yeah. And then after that, then it was like, oh, everybody wants to be Green Day.
Yeah.
You know, so like it's your surroundings.
Yeah.
Is what, you know, so I mean, if Jimi Hendrix wasn't around and embracing the whole hippie culture and the psychedelics, there is that completely
changes the game for him for sure.
Well, that's what made it
music. Yeah.
That's what completely inspired his music.
I agree.
Completely. So like you said, if that culture wasn't going on, if Jimi Hendrix was around in 1985, what would it have been?
Yeah, right.
You know what I'm saying? Or,
yeah, I hear you.
You have hair metal and everything like that, you know?
You wouldn't have been playing blues.
No, you wouldn't have been playing blues because it's not popular at the time. And I mean, he's coming from the whole John Mayall blues explosion. So everyone was influenced by it.
He was a product.
Then you had Zeppelin, Sabbath, Jimi Hendrix. I mean, everybody was influenced by Cream.
Yeah.
And it was blues and it was jamming and improv and just playing E minor and then just solo for 3 hours.
All right, that's what we used to do. I come over to the house, let's just jam at E, Zachy. All right.
We find A, I know how to play A now. Yeah, so there you go.
A jam of blues, you know, forever, man. I mean,
yeah, you can just improv, but I mean, it's just, but yeah, I think without a doubt, product of your environment.
Yeah.
It's like even when you look at Van Halen, you know, from 76, 77, you know, even the clothes they were wearing.
Yeah.
Everything was.
Oh, then it all changed.
Well, everything was. You had April Wine. You had Foghat. You had Pat Travers. You had. I mean, everything was, you know, cock rock back then. Everything
was
muscle cars, girls, partying. I mean, that's what all the lyrics were.
Totally.
All the lyrics were that.
Yeah. Totally.
So they were a byproduct of that more so than they were of Zeppelin and Sabbath.
Yeah. Totally.
You know what I mean? So it's.
Yeah. Everybody has to kind of reinvent themselves. I've seen a cool thing David Bowie said. I've reinvented myself so many times, I forget that I'm an Asian woman or a Korean woman.
actually, he had another line that was pretty good. I mean, because something has to be said for, you know, because he was talking about, like, your comfort zone and everything like that.
Yeah.
Like, you know, for any – he was talking about, like, any artist that writes because, you know – people are telling them you should be doing this or what you should be doing that or whatever. And he goes, usually that it's almost guaranteed it'll be the worst thing they've ever put out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because they're not doing what's true to themselves and what they love doing.
No, it's so, perceived then. It's already,
yeah. They're trying. And he goes, what David said, he just goes, what I've always found, he goes, for any artist or any band, any singer, any band, any musician, mm-hmm. He goes, when you go in the water and you're creating, when you go a little further out into the water and your feet can't touch the bottom.
Yeah.
He goes, that's right around there. When you're out of your comfort zone, he goes, you're on the verge of doing something that's really good. I, for him, that's what he,
I hear you.
From experience, I guess for him, that's what always worked best for him.
Yeah.
But then again, you know, you get somebody like AC/DC
who's already
like after Highway to Hell, like the only thing we need them to do is just write great songs.
Yeah.
I don't need you reinventing yourselves. I don't need you guys coming up with jazz licks, and I don't need you guys all this crazy stuff. Bless you, buddy. But you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, it's just like, no, just – what naturally is coming out of you and just write great songs, and then they come out with bells and shook me all night long. I mean, everything like that. And it's like, that's all they need to do. You know what I mean? Yeah. So what I'm saying is there's always two sides to the coin. I understand getting out of your comfort zone, but at the same time, if this is, writing these, these simple chord progressions with great melodies, I mean, that's your bread and butter.
Yeah.
And then you have Pat Travers. Go with what you know.
Exactly. You know?
That famous line. Yeah. Go with what you know, man. You know?
Everybody's different. You know what I mean? That's it. Miles, he challenged everybody, and whatever, But like you said, like AC/DC, they already have what they need, and that's that.
With them, it's just a matter of great riffs and songs.
Yeah, exactly.
That's
it.
That needs to be done.
Right. You don't need to break any musical boundaries or anything here. It's, just write great music.
Yeah. No, I agree. But I mean, it's just, it is a weird thing. You know what I mean? I'm saying for certain bands and just, like you said, for certain bands, because you said there's two sides to that coin.
Yeah.
Totally. Like David Bowie, he's constantly reinventing himself or whatever, you know what I mean? Yeah. And, or Madonna or whatever, like every record, she wants to do something. A different image, a different sound, a different thing. You know what I mean? Like that's her thing. Whereas like AC/DC, I don't need to know whether they're changing their clothes, bro. I really don't.
Yeah.
Or hairstyles.
It
doesn't matter, bro. We're the Allman Brothers.
Yeah.
The guy's got to – we're going to hire a fashion consultant. We're the Allmans. We're the hairstylists for the Allman Brothers.
Yeah, right.
Stop. Stop. And talk about the Grammys here, Goose.
Mm-hmm.
Oh. So word is, I guess they still haven't embraced the metal genre.
No. Well, they don't accept us.
Cheers to the Dream Theater guys.
Yeah, man. Berkeley boys.
John and the Pros. Yeah, without a doubt.
It's great.
The Berkeley alumni over there.
Awesome. That they won a Grammy and they have that style of music won.
Well, it's a good thing. It's a good thing. John and Dream Theater didn't get beat by Jethro Tull again.
Exactly.
Like you said, Ozzy won when we won for the – we talked about it before. Ozzy won the – we got the award up at the Vatican, right? For best metal, best live metal performance from, I guess, from the Live and Loud record, I guess for I Don't Want to Change the World. And I'm like, the people that voted for this thing after they voted for Jethro Tull beating Metallica.
Yeah.
I mean, it's awesome. It's great winning at anything, whether we win at the carnival for
– Yeah.
You win a stuffed animal, right? It's just fun winning, or we get voted for, best shoes or whatever. You know what I mean? Live performance. I mean, it's great. Yeah. It's wonderful. But this kind of shows the validity of the award when it says Jethro Tull beats Metallica in best metal category, and Jethro Tull's not even a metal band. I know. I'm sure I'm saying so. Like, where's the validity? And who are the people voting on this?
I don't know. That's what we always ask. Who are these people? Who are these people?
What's going on, gang? Zach Wild and the Goose here. We want to take a quick second and thank one of our newest sponsors and a company that's been supporting our bands for years now, the Mad Viking Beard Company.
The team at Mad Viking has one purpose. It's to help their bearded and tattooed brothers of the world become their absolute best.
They believe it's not enough to only look good, but you must also feel good and live life to its fullest, Goose.
The Mad Viking Brotherhood is strong, Zachy, and has partnered with Black Label Society to bring our fans a top-notch collaboration to commemorate the anniversary of the Sonic Brew debut release.
That's right. Made with premium ingredients and a unique scent. Profile created specifically for the Sonic Brew release, Goose.
Ooh.
The Black Label Society beard care line is a must have for all the bearded metalheads. Yeah. And of course, just like all their other products, is proudly made in the USA.
In addition to the Black Label Society line, check out all their other beard and skincare products. And one of my personal favorites, the Tattoo Balm.
Oh, yeah. Look, we have a lot of time and money invested in our ink, and it doesn't make sense to use subpar, overpriced, or generic balm on our arts.
Go check out MadVikingBeard.com for their full line of hair and skincare products. While you're there, make sure you get the Black Label Society Sonic Brew Anniversary line before it's gone.
Oh, yeah, Goose.
Yeah.
Again, that's at MadVikingBeard.com.
Yeah.
And use promo code BLS20 for 20% off your next order. And join the horde of guys making a switch to Mad Viking.
Ah!
Ah! Well, you know what? I think it's kind of silly, too. I always say it about bodybuilding. I say it about, like, the people judging bodybuilding contests should be former bodybuilders.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Or former winners. And, you know, like, whether, you know, like Steve Kuklo or...
Just keep it in his...
Yeah. I mean, it should be former Mr. Olympias, former Mr. Arnold winners, former any guys that have won any competitions and actually,
you know what?
You know.
You know, it'd be amazing. The Hall of Fame should have people who are in the Hall of Fame vote.
Yeah. Or real players. That's, I mean, like, I
think the Hall of Fame should be voting, right?
I mean, a lot of it is like writers. And it's just like, did you even ever play Little League?
I know.
You know, so like, how are you voting on baseball Hall of Fame credentials?
And it's silly. Like, Albert Bell is still not in the Hall of Fame. And look up his stats. The media hated him. So he's not.
Yeah, I know. So that's what is it? There's the way of penalizing him.
Exactly. That's what I'm saying. It's silly, man.
So because he didn't do the interviews and kiss everybody's ass.
Exactly. And so they hate Albert Bell. You remember him? He was amazing, man.
Yeah, but like he didn't feel like doing interviews and everything like that.
No. And he didn't get along with the media, and then that's it. So now he's not in the Hall because of that.
It's amazing. It's like, you know.
I know.
Like, who are you guys to judge him? Let me ask you, how many people in this room have even played high school baseball?
That's what I'm saying. They should
Little League. How many even advanced to high school were good enough to make a high school team? That's like none of them. Yeah. Nobody.
Let the people in the Hall of Fame vote on who gets into the Hall of Fame.
If it's truly judged by your peers.
You know what I'm saying? That really should be. All the living Hall of Famers should be voting. And then if you have to have some writers here and there, whatever, to fill it out. But it should mostly be the people that are already there. Don't you agree?
Yeah, or guys that have made major league all-stars.
Yeah, you know, somebody.
Guys that have actually made all-star, you know, like whoever was like an all-star for you, the qualifications. If you made the all-stars 3 years.
Right.
You made it 3 years throughout your career, you can vote for Hall of Fame status.
Yeah, they should appoint certain people. You know what I mean? But mostly it should be all the Hall of Famers that are in there already that vote. That's what I think. And that's it. You know?
But it's always like bodybuilding. I'd love to see like some of the judges, you know, that these guys are like 500 pounds and out of shape and just, you know, don't even lift weights, just eat burgers and pizza all day long. Cholesterol through the roof, high blood pressure.
Totally.
And it's like, and you're voting bodybuilding shows?
It's like, it sounds wrong.
It doesn't make sense at all.
Nothing does anyway. Anymore.
The fact that we're still doing this doesn't make any sense either.
Completely none.
but yeah, so like I saw some other big uproars, I guess, because I guess, you know, Father Joey Jordanson, Joey didn't mention Joey in the memorandum thing or whatever. And I'm like going, but you know, and I'm just thinking to myself, it's the metal community, the rock community's friends, you know? I mean, it's just like, I'm sure certain jazz artists didn't get in it either, you know, that are accomplished jazz musicians that passed away. They're just like, well, I mean, it really is.
It's
a pop show, bro.
It sucks. But yeah, I mean, they actually won a Grammy in 2006. So he already won a Grammy in that. whatever. It's the Grammys, you know. It's not a metal show, you know.
Like we said before, because Madonna gets pissed off, she got snubbed at the Black Metal Awards.
Yeah,
you know, it's just. She's protesting it. She's complete outrage, bro.
Yeah.
You know, but I mean, it's just like they, it's not heavy metal. It's not our party.
I know.
It's like Delta showing up at, you know.
Yeah, right. Delta.
At Omega.
Yeah. We don't like, it's
like, just get out of here, man. The fact that we even have a category for you guys is enough. Settle down.
Take that shit out of here.
Yeah, like we don't even want you here anyways.
What are you good for?
Yeah, what are you doing here, man? We don't like you.
Oh, you're not classing up the joint. Get the hell out of here, man. You guys.
Right? I mean, like, it's the truth.
I know.
Like, I could even get upset about it. It has nothing to do with.
I know. But.
Heavy metal, like, people don't want to be part of any of this stuff anyways. They couldn't care less. I mean, like you said,
right?
It's wonderful winning a trophy for anything, you know, best cake or best, we make the best steak or whatever.
We didn't win, right?
No, we didn't win for steak, vegetables, or pastries.
No? Our pastries are amazing. Our cookies are good.
We actually did place on. We didn't even know they put a record out in 2021.
Oh, is that what we placed on?
Yeah, well, we didn't win it, but we were actually third. Nominated. Yeah.
That's all you can ask for.
We got third, the Holy Trinity, so we're fine. Don't worry about it.
We'll take that.
That's a good number. But I mean, third in the we didn't even know they put an album out in 2021.
Oh, that's awesome.
Oh, you can't make it up, man.
Oh, man.
But I have been getting ready for the upcoming tour, Goose.
Yeah.
Doing my Kegels.
Yeah. How you feel?
going over the lyrics that I haven't.
You're tightened up. You feel good? Strong.
Yeah, going over the phone book again of lyrics. Trying to memorize all this stuff.
You're holding an egg? Are you carrying an egg around?
Yes, I am.
And not breaking it.
Trying. Doing my best.
I hear you. Don't break it.
You know? And if it's warmed up anyways, I can make some scrambled eggs.
don't need to stick
it in the microwave.
Yeah. Yeah. Like
it's already in there.
No, you break it and then the bird flies away.
Well, that happens in the beard as well, man.
I know.
Without a doubt, man.
That kind of stuff. But yeah, that's it, man. We got a bunch of stuff coming up, so that's pretty cool. I gotta start standing up, Zach.
Yeah.
Standing up and playing.
Remember the songs.
Oh, I know. That's another thing. That's what that's the rehearsal's for. we all do our homework, though, man.
Yeah, yeah. I was walking around the house singing War Pigs.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't stop. Yeah. Have you been practicing the lyrics? What?
No. Do I have to do them now? Oh man,
so good, man. Yeah, good. Amazing. But all right, Goose, always great talking to you, my brother.
Thank you, brother.